a lot of development underway in the Murraylands with a recent $1.94 million investment in health and a major multi-million dollar federal and state investment in Thomas Foods International has been announced today. Member for Barker, Tony Passon, joins me in the studio. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Jenny.
So tell us about this announcement, a pretty massive investment in not what we're used to hearing from Thomas Foods, but they're going vegan.
Well, Murray Bridge's own Thomas Foods woke up to some fantastic news this morning, as did South Australians. I mean, this is a $380-odd million investment facilitated by $130 million by the South Australian, the federal government, and $60-odd million from the state government. 8,500 full-time jobs in relation to this new production facility. And as you say, it is plant-based protein, Jenny, which is something that is new, I think, we can say, to Thomas Foods. But Barker will benefit from this development. Not only will we have legume producers cheering on this outcome, but of course, I can say that one of the facilities that this will fund along the supply chain will be at Kingsford. Now, that's in the electorate of Barker, and I expect to have a great benefit for the local community. The facility will be a pulse protein R&D hub. Now, the reality is more and more people are concerned about plant-based proteins, and so this R&D hub located in Barker will be a great outcome for people living in and around Kingsford, but also pulse producers in Barker, and not to mention the 8,500 new full-time positions that will be available across the supply chain by 2024 as this new production facility is built in the northern suburbs of Adelaide.
Yeah, right. So they're really kind of cashing in on that extra market while also they're continuing to build the meat works in the region as well, right?
Jenny, I don't think they're walking away from livestock production, which is obviously a key component of production systems in my electorate, nor are they walking away from the significant abattoir investment they're making here in Murray Bridge. I think this is more, not in substitute for, I think we can say. So I think, you know, if people bring steak, sausages and chops from the barbecue, the good people at Thomas Food want them to bring you to bring theirs. But if you're going to bring a vegan burger, they want you to bring one from this new facility in Adelaide. South Australian workers, South Australian research, South Australian pulses. It's a great win.
Oh, great. We'll keep an eye on that story and see what else we can find out about it. The member for Barker, Tony Passon's with us. Now, the $1.94 million investment in health, this is, from what I understand, giving training health practitioners more opportunities to do placements, which will also give regional residents more opportunities to see health professionals, right?
Well, exactly. So this announcement, which is new funding made available and announced recently by Minister for Regional Health, Dr. David Gillespie, recently in Murray Bridge, will ensure we can partner with the Flinders University here at Murray Bridge. It will see more allied health professionals, so we're talking about speech pathologists, nutritionists, physiotherapists, etc., living and working in Murray Bridge, living and studying in Murray Bridge. Now, a couple of benefits that flow out of that, Jenny. One is that some students I met at the facility recently had never lived or worked outside of Adelaide. So Murray Bridge was a great experience for them. It was a positive experience for them. Now, they're living and working in the community for 8 to 10 weeks. There's a very high likelihood that they'll meet friends. And even if they don't, and it doesn't lead to a lifelong career in regional health, at least they'll have an appreciation for what the regional health facilities look like, feel like, what it is to work in them. But on top of everything else, this is actually more training places. So it's more allied health professionals, which because of the pandemic, of course, we've come to appreciate how critically important our health systems are and how important it is that we ensure that we both train sufficient numbers of health professionals, including the allied health professions, but also that we give them quality education and expose them to regional communities so they've got an understanding of regional health and its architecture.
And what about retaining people? Because that's a really tricky thing, isn't it, Tony, in regards to keeping health practitioners in the regions?
Well, Jenny, it is. Health architecture is devilishly difficult. So the federal government's heavily responsible for training, particularly through the tertiary education system. So just like we fund universities to churn out lawyers like I was, we fund universities to educate health professionals, doctors, nurses, chiros, nutritionists, etc. What we're not heavily involved in is the day-to-day management of health, so hospitals and these things. So we effectively educate the health professionals, provide that funding, and one in every $2 of tertiary education is funded federally. The rest is funded by the individual student. But then after that, they enter the workforce, and I often get very frustrated because, of course, the pay dispute that we saw recently with GPs in local hospitals was all about the state government, and I'm doing everything I can, and I know Rowan Ramsey as well in the seat of Grey, to get as many doctors as we can into the regions. And it's a little frustrating when those negotiations are drawn out. Happy news that those matters are resolved satisfactorily now, but, you know, retaining them is a lot about the terms and conditions they're employed on, and that sits with state health bureaucracies and state governments.
And Tony Passan, it's looking pretty beautiful at Sturt Reserve at the moment. Good to see the first phase of the major redevelopment complete.
Yeah, so in total, we've now invested $5 million and more in Sturt Reserve from a federal government perspective. Not all of that funding is currently evident because some of it's being built out now, but the War Memorial, there was a small amount of funding for the Lawn Tennis Club, significant funding for the Murray Bridge Rowing Club, and now the pavilion, as I'm calling it, is open to the public. It's fantastic. It looks like the kind of infrastructure you'd imagine in any capital city, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Cairns, but it's on the banks of the River Murray in what I think is quickly becoming Murray Bridge's third place. It's not home, it's not work, but it's where we gather, the civic square, if you like. Stay tuned for some more exciting developments. We're now moving to build out funding that was announced recently around the Wharf Precinct, which will facilitate more arrivals along the river in terms of tourism offer. But the Murray Bridge Council should be congratulated for its bold plans around Sturt Reserve. I mean, there's around $30 million of funding that is sought to be invested. We've provided $5 million of that from a federal government perspective. We're very much leaning in, and I'm looking forward to seeing the benefits of that. And I know the people of Murray Bridge are starting to notice the transformation down at Sturt Reserve. And for those people with long enough memories, I mean, it was ultimately the town's dump. And to think that such a beautiful built environment could have been used in that way is a tragedy. But to think that we're transforming it to the kind of splendour that we can expect, a space that's activated, used, and that people of Murray Bridge can be proud of, I think it's a credit to the council. I'm pleased the federal government can play a small part in funding it and providing resources to do that. And it was a privilege to open the pavilion recently.
Thanks so much for your time today, Tony Passan.
Thanks, Jenny.